Grace, mercy, and peace to you. God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once a year, Pastor Pauls would stole away with a few men for 5 days for fly fishing in the Idaho wilderness. Every year they went to the same place in a remote and rugged terrain, beautiful and wild, 5 days of standing in crystal clear water while they go ahead and catch the wild cutthroat trout. Does an awful lot of good to refresh the mind. And yet in the midst of this beauty, there's danger. Help is far away. A mistake can get you into big trouble. It's not out of the question for you to meet a large wild beast, and you could end up trampled, impaled, mauled, or devoured. And then it gets dark. Really dark. The light is gone. The sight is gone. And the imagination starts playing tricks on you. You know, the sound could be a grizzly bear on a prowl, angry and hungry, even though it's simply a grouse. You know, he was comforted and secured, knowing that between him and the outside world was his flimsy nylon tent. Oh, he did carry a sidearm, so if an angry bear were to go ahead and break through, he could shoot it. But then again, it was only a 9mm and probably just make the bear mad and could eat him faster. No, Pastor Pauls is not a very fearful person, but when darkness falls and you can't see, your mind's eye can get pretty distorted. On the bright side, at that elevation, there are no poisonous snakes. You see, in the light of the Garden of Eden, a serpent was a serpent. And there's no fear of serpents because there's no fear. But the one that entices Eve is the devil in snake's skin. Oh, he coaxes her and Adam that they can be like God. He makes it sound as if they just know evil along with the good, that will be quite an advancement for them. And they listen, they eat, they sin, they fall, they hide. And the darkness overcomes the world. In that deep darkness, the Lord appears. And while the night will persist for a while, the Lord gives Adam and Eve a promise to cling, that the seed of the woman will be born and that he will suffer and die, because and he will crush the serpent's head. Our first parents would do well to listen to this promise, because in the darkness, they have to wear the blindfold of sin, and everything looks distorted. It's always distorted for the sinful mind of humanity. God seems cruel. His life-giving gifts, well, they seem kind of unimportant. And sins, they seem necessary. Because life is called a burden, death is called a friend. The Lord of life is denounced for condemning, and man looks for dead things to give life. Fidelity? That's bad. Infidelity? Oh, that's to be praised. And the list goes on, and all the distortion leads to misery, pain, and death. And yet mankind sees it as eminently reasonable. It's the only way to live. And on the list of distortions, there's also this one. The serpent appears invincible. Through the lens of sin, he is no longer a simple reptile, but a huge, invincible reptile. And his offspring appears as unbeatable monsters. When Egypt and Babylon take God's people captive, these hostile empires are called Leviathan. They're not just serpents, but enormous sea serpents, underwater giants that bulk, that sulk and lurk, and then rise and strike. Egypt is called Rahab, the enormous sea dragon that swallows up its prey and brings it down to the depths of the earth, our depths of the sea. It's frightening stuff, far worse than a nightly grizzly bear tiptoeing like a grouse. Well, if you're in a rowboat and you see a snake slithering in the lake, at least you can hit it with the oar. But a sea monster? A gigantic, armored, fire-breathing sea monster bearing down on you with an open mouth bared? It would seem that you don't have a prayer. The devil and his offspring, they look unbeatable. And yet when the Lord calls Egypt Rahab, the sea monster that imprisons his people, what does he do? He goes ahead and opens the Red Sea, and his people go forth on dry ground. Now, you probably could imagine maybe the sea monster has two options. It could go ahead and simply admit defeat and let them go. Or the sea monster could go ahead and pop out and end up on dry ground and flop around like a bullhead out of a small pond in Minnesota. But the Lord isn't done yet. He goes ahead and closes the Red Sea, and he drowns Pharaoh and his army. And the sea dragon that would swallow up his people is swallowed up by the sea. And when the Babylonian Empire is invincible, bloodthirsty, and at its worst, what does the Lord do after it devours Jerusalem and makes Judah nothing? He goes ahead and pries open the jaws like it was a little puppy with a sock in its mouth and lets God's people go back. And renewed in Jerusalem. He does it because he is promised that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And no matter how great, no matter how fearsome the serpent might appear to sinful eyes, the promises of God are true. See, this is the thing. The church will always look like it's losing, especially when the world grows distorted, only more distorted in these latter days. Evil will always look big and unbeatable. He is bigger than you, and you can't beat him. Meet my Jesus. I encourage you to call upon the one who can conquer the serpent, who has conquered the serpent, Jesus Christ, God's own Son. And you heard about his conquest in Revelation chapter 12, about the serpent's defeat. It ought to be one of the greatest comforts that we ever have. There, the serpent, Satan, is pictured as a great dragon with an army of his angels. And what cause for panic and fright? But you are not a part of the battle. The angel Michael goes ahead and leads the counterattack with the angels of God. And the devil, the dragon, loses. Satan is cast out of heaven. And there is no place in heaven for him anymore. He cannot accuse you before the throne of God. He is defeated. He is thrown down to the earth, and that's good news, especially for you. And then the bad news. He is thrown down to the earth, which happens to be where you live, right? Well, being the poor loser that he is, who can't defeat God or prevail against the church, the dragon goes after God's people. But among God's people, in the fullness of time, is a male child that is born, Jesus. He fights the dragon. And where you might expect an epic battle of knight and sword versus fire and the dragon, Jesus utterly defeats the dragon by shedding his own blood. Where the dragon goes ahead and breathes fiery accusations against God's people, he is gutted because there's no sins. They're all forgiven. There are none left to accuse you of. He is conquered by the blood of the Lamb. And when you look to Calvary, sin wants you to distort your vision so that all you can see is the puny Son of God dead on a tree, defeated by the invincible dragon. But grace and faith sees with vision clear that the post of the cross is driven right through the dragon's skull and pins it to the ground. Turns out that the stake is just a stake, with his head crushed under the foot of Christ the Savior. And now the Lord shares his victory with you. We read Luke chapter 10 that Jesus sends out the 72 to proclaim his kingdom and perform the wonders in his name. As we read, the 72 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus gave his disciples authority to tread on serpents, and that could be referring to occasional snake in the grass along the road, or maybe a scorpion. Yet each time they proclaimed his kingdom, they proclaimed the dragon's defeat. Each time they worked a miracle in Jesus' name, they demonstrated that Christ was the conqueror of Satan, sin, and death. Christ is the conqueror of Satan, sin, and death. As long as we are in this world, our vision is still distorted. Satan still will appear as an invincible dragon who pulls the strings and rules the world so that it seems that to our nearsightedness, evil is always winning, and we're tempted to despair. When such a dragon whispers in our ears that our sins are too big for them to be forgiven, our guilt and our shame are too great to be taken away, our old Adam believes and cringes and quakes as if it were true. Well, certainly the dragon is bigger than us. But remember, Christ is bigger and greater still. It is he who has redeemed you and me. And through his messengers today, he speaks, "I have baptized you. The devil must flee. Leviathan is chased away by water and the word." And when Christ says through his pastors, I forgive you. The greatest of sins are taken away, and you are delivered from the dragon of Egypt, of Babylon, and brought in to God's kingdom. And you look down, and you see your guilt and your shame are scorpions and serpents on the ground with their heads crushed, never to rise again. The dragon is defeated by the blood of the Lamb. So, this coming Sunday, eat of the Lord's body, the Lamb's body, and drink of his blood, for in him is life, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the ancient serpent, the devil, is defeated. For you are forgiven. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.